scientists seek new ways to make one of Arkansas's most important crops resilient in the face of climate change. A new directory lists LGBTQ+ friendly businesses in the Northwest Arkansas area, and a new statewide program encourages Arkansans to travel via e-bike. Those stories and more are coming up this week on the News Wrap from the Arkansas Newsroom. I'm Daniel Breen, News Director of Little Rock Public Radio. Each week, we're recapping the top stories from all across the natural state. We'll unpack the headlines, share exclusive insights, and provide the context you need to fully grasp the issues that matter most to Arkansans. That's this week on the Arkansas News Wrap, coming up right after the news from NPR. This is the Arkansas News Wrap. I'm Daniel Breen with Little Rock Public Radio. It might be weird to think about, but the rice on your dinner plate was a group project featuring farmers, researchers, millers, and others. As Little Rock Public Radio's Amir Mahmood reports, a team at the University of Arkansas's Rice Research Center is working to help the industry weather the impact of climate change.
Arkansans have heard it all before. Rice, for a number of reasons, is an important crop for our state. But don't take my word for it. Just listen to the experts.
Arkansas is the largest rice producer in the United States. We plant rice for more than a million acres every year. A lot of the rice industries are here, the milling industries, and also it employs a lot of people in the agricultural sector.
That's Christian de Guzman. He's an expert on plant breeding and genetics. De Guzman and a team of other researchers at the University of Arkansas Rice Research and Extension Center are working to breed a rice crop that is more suited for Arkansas's changing climate. De Guzman's work is two-pronged. Part of his job is selective plant breeding. The other part is conducting research on stressors that can affect rice.
I'm involved in working on abiotic stress tolerance. That is primarily heat, high nighttime temperature, and drought.
These abiotic or environmental factors are affecting rice crops right now, according to De Guzman. And it's up to people like him to breed a more resilient crop.
All of those are actually happening in relation to climate change. For example, our high nighttime temperatures is increasing. And it's not just for rice. The high nighttime temperature affects all other crops.
Arkansas's agriculture industry is feeling the impact of climate change, but maybe not in the way you'd think, especially if you've lived through one of those hot and sticky southern summers. BJ Bowley, a climate scientist at Texas A&M University and the Southern Regional Climate Center, explains.
For the southeast, we haven't seen the large increases in, say, like daytime high temperatures that they've seen in the western U.S. or the really fast-warming wintertime temperatures like they've seen in the northern plains where I'm from. What it looks like is it's warming up over time. So when we look at the seasons and break it down, summer and fall, we're really not seeing the high temperatures go up that much. Most of the increases we're seeing are in the winter and the springtime months. And then the overnight lows.
A warmer climate can also lead to more water in the atmosphere, Bally says. This doesn't necessarily mean more rain, but heavier rain events and a faster water cycle. Along with carbon emissions from human activity, La Niña and El Niño, natural cycles that affect the temperature of the Pacific Ocean, also play a role in climate change.
We had a pretty substantial drought across the Southern Plains region in the last couple of years, and I know that extended over into Arkansas a fair amount. What happened there is that was an example of a typical weather pattern associated with La Niña.
Environmental factors associated with climate change often have a negative effect on rice yields. For example, high nighttime temperatures or extreme heat can result in rice that's more likely to break during the milling process. Any kernel that is less than 75% of its original length is considered broken rice. Brokens, as they're called in the industry, are cheaper than whole kernel grains. They're often used in beer production, pet food, and for sale at the grocery store.
Some years we have low whole kernel yields, and unfortunately for us in the rice industry, it seems like the low milling yield crops are coming more frequently.
That's Keith Glover, the head of Producers Rice Mill in Stuttgart. He's concerned about what low whole kernel rice yields mean for farmers.
When you have a high milling for whole kernels, the price gap between a 100 pounds of whole kernel versus brokens could be as narrow as $3 to $5 a hundredweight. In years like we've seen recently, you could widen that number out to $10 to $15 a hundredweight difference.
The higher prevalence of broken rice is one of the issues De Guzman is trying to solve through selective rice breeding. Because of the many genes that might affect a single trait, it's kind of like a puzzle for De Guzman and his team.
So our preliminary study shows that, for example, high nighttime temperature just for a single trait, there might be more than three genes. And other traits, for example, related to chalk, there might be more than five.
De Guzman says solving this puzzle is cutting edge work.
There is no varieties, as far as I know, in Arkansas that is heat resistant, that is high nighttime temperature resistant, or a drought resistant.
There are other universities around the world that are researching and breeding rice crops to be more climate change resilient, but Arkansas has a distinct advantage because much of the industry is located within the state.
Our advantage is that we do not just foundational work, but also the applied breeding work. We are really looking forward to releasing a variety that the farmers can actually use.
De Guzman says the creation of a rice crop better suited to withstand environmental stressors is several years away, but the data is promising.
Plant breeding is still a numbers game. That means, you know, we have to do a lot or plant a lot of plants, making a lot of crosses and selections. And as in any other, you know, R&D, it takes time. It will take several years for any plant variety or rice variety to be released. But we are very hopeful because our preliminary results are showing promise.
That was Little Rock Public Radio's Amir Mahmood reporting, and this story was supported by a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. A community-driven initiative called NWA Transcends has teamed up with NWA Equality and the Equality Crew to create a new directory for LGBTQ+ friendly businesses in Northwest Arkansas called Rainbow Radar. KUAF's Sophia Narani spoke with Sam Ash, a task force member with NWA Transcends, about the group and the new directory. Ash says it's important to foster safety and belonging for transgender and non-binary individuals in the region.
So the Rainbow Radar is basically a digital hub for LGBTQ+ owned or affirming businesses, resources, really just a centralized place that people in our area can go to find both businesses or providers that they can trust, they can really show up as their authentic selves with.
Can you tell me a little bit about the organization that you're a part of and just how this all started?
Absolutely, yeah. So I wear a number of different hats with different kind of volunteer organizations locally. One of my primary points of entry to this particular project was through a community task force called NWA Transcends. So we're not a formal organization or anything, but we're just a group of community members that are really committed to having conversations and taking action to support, in particular, our trans folks here in the region. And so through that group, we partnered with NWA Equality and the Equality Crew, which are two of the kind of major LGBTQ+ nonprofits in the area, to work on developing this community hub. So the project actually has been something that both the Equality Crew and NWA Equality have had versions of in the past, where they've had some different resources that are, you know, listed as affirming providers or different resources in the area. But it's been difficult to actually keep that fully up to date. And so partnering together with these different groups gave us an opportunity to say, okay, how can we all focus on really creating something that we can then work to kind of get the word out and sustain over time?
Yeah, 100%. And you mentioned it already. That's a lot of work to keep up with and constantly do. And there's also a process to finding those businesses. And maybe tell me a little bit about the breadth of where you were looking specifically and how you found the businesses that you wanted to put on that radar.
Sure. So growing the Rainbow Radar is definitely going to continue to be a work in progress. There are some listings on there right now, but to really get it to where we want to be, we're definitely inviting the community to continue participating. So there are a few different ways that folks can get on the Rainbow Radar. If you are a business owner or a provider and want to kind of take that initiative to reach out and say, hey, I really am an affirming person in this community, there's opportunity to kind of put yourself on the radar. But something that is also kind of unique and cool about this as well is that there's also an opportunity for people in the community to nominate people to be put on there.
Very cool.
So if you are, say, a community member that has had a really positive experience somewhere that maybe isn't explicitly a LGBTQ plus owned or affiliated type of organization, but people in the community have had a really positive, welcoming experience there, they can nominate that person or that organization to be listed as an affirming place on the radar. So it just gives the opportunity for both, business owners or providers, but also just kind of your everyday person in the community to all have their voice kind of heard and represented in the radar.
Well, where can people find the directory?
Yeah, so the Rainbow Radar is live at rainbowradar.org. So when you go there, you will find both a directory with different businesses, but also an event calendar, as well as a list of some different resources in the area. So it's really both that kind of business directory, but also a great place to stay informed with different events that are coming up too.
Perfect. And maybe also just describe what it's like when someone's pulling it up and how one would use it.
Absolutely. So when you go to the Rainbow Radar site, it pulls up as basically an opportunity to kind of search different businesses. So you can, for example, filter by business type if you're looking for shops or healthcare providers, things like that, or even just entertainment. There are services on there from like lawn services to all the full spread. Mm-hmm. So there's an opportunity to kind of filter by business type. There's also a map feature. So if you want to pull up kind of, what are the different things around me where I am right now? You can go and look and see what's nearby. So there are a number of different ways that you can navigate it to see the different resources that are available around you or the different businesses. So you can filter by type, or if you just want to go out and explore and see what's around you, you can pull up the map and see what's nearby.
Very cool. And this is all across Northwest Arkansas, correct?
It is, yes. So right now, the majority of the resources that we have pull up on the website are primarily centered around the Fayetteville area, but we do want it to include things that kind of cover Springdale, Bentonville, Rogers, even up into Bella Vista. So we know in general that there are so many amazing resources and businesses and providers in this area that really people just may not have heard about before. And so we do hope that this will be a way to kind of spread the word about just the number of affirming resources and providers that there are in the area.
Cool. And then this is an encouragement for businesses and for folks who know of those businesses and organizations to go to the Rainbow Radar and put them on there and nominate them as well.
Absolutely. Yes. There are several different ways that folks can help out. Obviously, if you're a business owner or a provider and you want to really show that commitment, you can go on there and fill out some information to be listed as an affirming provider. Mm-hmm. But also, yes, if you're a community member and you've had a positive experience and want to really highlight places that are affirming or places that you really have felt safe or a sense of belonging, this is a great place to go and put the word out into the community so other people can find and enjoy those places too.
That was Sam Ash, a task force member with NWA Transcends, speaking with KUAF's Sophia Narani. Three Arkansas regional planning commissions are making e-bikes more accessible to their residents. MetroPlan, the Northwest Arkansas Regional Planning Commission, and the City of Fort Smith are offering 5,800 rebate vouchers to residents to purchase new qualifying e-bikes. Little Rock Public Radio's Nathan Treese spoke with Tim Conklin, Executive Director of the Northwest Arkansas Regional Planning Commission, to learn more.
A couple years ago, the three regions all got together and collaborated on a grant that we received through the US EPA, and it was a $100 million grant that's coming to the three largest metros here in Arkansas, covering about half the population, about 1.5 million people in the three metros together. The program that was announced yesterday is the Arkansas Tri-Region E-Bike Voucher Program. It's an initiative to distribute at least 5,844 e-bike vouchers across the Fayetteville, Springdale, Rogers, Arkansas metro area, the Fort Smith, Arkansas, Oklahoma metro area, and the Little Rock, North Little Rock, and Conway, Arkansas metro area. So residents that live in the eligible counties within those metros have an opportunity to register for the chance to receive an e-bike voucher. We have two vouchers available. There's a general resident voucher that is valued at $700 off the purchase of an eligible e-bike from participating bike shop retailers. And there's also a income qualified resident voucher that can be redeemed for up to $1,200 off the purchase of eligible e-bikes from participating retailers. On the income qualified resident vouchers, you have to live in a household with an income less than or equal to 200% of the federal poverty level. So the registration portal opens up on July 6th. Your listeners in your region can find more information at metroplan.org. They are our partner on this program. They have a page that has all of the requirements to apply and what type of bikes that are eligible. There's also an FAQ section that people can go to and look at if they have questions, specific questions about eligibility or what county. So that's all on there. Once again, we're trying to make sure people register. It'll be a computerized random selection process that will happen, and you'll need to complete the registration to be eligible for that random selection process that will happen on July 21st. That is one of several random selections that will happen over the next 6 to 8 months. Once again, we're trying to distribute over 5,800 e-bike vouchers across the three metros.
Tell me a little bit about why e-bikes, what's the benefits, and why focus on this specifically?
Well, in Northwest Arkansas and in the Little Rock metro area, there's been a lot of investment on building out our active transportation systems. And along that, we are connecting our communities together, and e-bikes offer an opportunity to enhance our active transportation choices that are offered within the region. And so, for example, in Northwest Arkansas, the Razorback Greenway now connects seven cities and is 40 miles long. E-bikes offer the ability to be able to go longer distances if you live in one community and work in another or go to school. We also here in Northwest Arkansas, and most of Arkansas in these metro areas, have areas that have some significant topography. And so e-bikes also make it easier to navigate some of the more challenging sections of our active transportation network. And then, you know, you may have some people that may not have, or that may have some physical issues of trying to navigate some of these steep hills and challenges on distances. And so e-bikes just kind of level the playing field of, you know, can I ride that far? Can I get up that hill? Can I get to work? Can I get to where I'm going shopping? And so that is why we looked at that, is it complements what we're calling the green network. And so part of the overall $100 million grant was also to look at how do we protect and preserve our natural areas, our floodplains, our wetlands, our floodways. And so our regions are actively looking at how do you combine open space preservation along with active transportation. And so that is why we looked at an e-bike program here in Northwest Arkansas and in the other metro areas.
And this is, of course, funded through the climate Pollution Reduction Grant. How does offloading, let's just call it traffic, to active travel patterns like e-bikes, how does that help climate pollution reduction?
Obviously, if there are other ways, other choices, transportation choices to move around through active transportation, this helps reduce air pollution in our metro areas. And we've been very successful here in Northwest Arkansas with building after the Razorback Greenway and all the investments. We now have over 200 miles of shared use paved trail. And so anything we can do to promote the use of alternative modes of transportation for some of our shorter trips and some of our medium and longer trips helps everybody, helps potentially, if you're riding a bike, you're potentially not in a car on one of our roadways. So it's a benefit for everybody within the region, and it really promotes what we're trying to create here in Arkansas and in Northwest Arkansas with really a world-class active transportation network along with this world-class outdoor recreation that we have here in the state of Arkansas.
So the application portal opens, you said, July 6th. It's a form that people fill out. There's more information about that on the website. And then you said the selection will take place 21st, excuse me. And then folks will receive an email. Now, do they have to already have purchased the bike at that point? Or
no. This is a multi-step process. So you're going to register to be potentially in the random selection process to receive a voucher. If you are selected, you will be asked to complete the overall final application for that e-bike. And once you log back into your account and provided the documentation that you are a resident within one of the three metro areas, if it's income qualified voucher, that you provided the documentation for the income qualified voucher, then you will be eligible to receive a point of sale voucher to a qualifying bike shop here in one of the three metro areas. And so it's a point of sale voucher. You will take your voucher to a participating bike shop, and then you'll need to identify what bike you are purchasing, and it has to meet the criteria that's also on the website as a class one, class two, or class three e-bike. The voucher will be applied to that purchase price, and the bike shop will get reimbursed through this program for the bike you purchase. So the actual exchange of funds will be between the bike shop and the overall program administrator.
Just curiosity, have you used an e-bike yourself? Do you travel with one?
I have used an e-bike. My wife has an e-bike. We bike often here in Northwest Arkansas, and it really is a game changer with regard to being able to get up and over some steep hills, especially on some of our trails, including the Razorback Greenway. There's more and more people that are using e-bikes every day here in Northwest Arkansas, and we're excited that we're able to bring this to the three largest metro areas, and are looking forward to, at a minimum, distributing at least 5,844 vouchers over the next 6 to 8 months.
That was Tim Conklin, Executive Director of the Northwest Arkansas Regional Planning Commission, speaking with Little Rock Public Radio's Nathan Trees. And that's it for this week. The Arkansas News Wrap is brought to you by the Arkansas Newsroom, a collaboration between KUAF in Fayetteville, KASU in Jonesboro, and Little Rock Public Radio. You can find this week's episode on any of our station's websites. Until next time, I'm Daniel Breen, and this is the Arkansas News Wrap.